Devorah, we're starting a new Sefer, and it's also Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week of Tisha B'Av, although halachically, this is not Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Since Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, so this year there is no Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, which makes not much of a difference for Ashkenazim, but for Sephardim there's an enormous difference. Because Ashkenazim have the laws of the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh. Sephardim do not start the extreme mourning before Tisha B'Av on Rosh Chodesh. They don't have 9 days. They only have Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. So Sephardim will shave. Sephardim are beardless, will shave during this week because there's no week. Ashkenazim, who are beardless, you'll see people walking around without having shaven. We have a demonstration here. And that's because we start on Rosh Chodesh. I say we, the Ashkenazim start on Rosh Chodesh. And it means also Sephardim can eat meat during this week. Sephardim eat meat this week. Okay, so let's start with number one is the Ramban, Nachmanides' introduction to Sefer Devarim. And it's not the whole introduction, it's part of it, but I want to focus on the first paragraph, which I brought here. And I put it on the sheet from, there's a new elucidated Ramban in Hebrew and English, which is a tremendous work, and I urge you to consider buying it. In between each paragraph, you know, there's instructions, like you're learning with a chavrusa almost. So here, he writes, the Ramban outlines the overall theme of Sefer Devarim. HaSefer hazeh inyano yadua, the subject of this book is well known, shehu Mishneh Torah, namely that it is a review of the Torah. This is the point that I want to come back to after we see the whole paragraph. So he says right from the get-go that Sefer Devarim, which is called by Chazal, by the rabbis, Sefer Mishneh Torah, because it is a Mishneh Torah, it is a second Torah, it's a review. Most of it is a review. Why is it a review? So he says, Yiva'er bo Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom l'dor ha-nichnas ba'aretz. In it, our teacher Moshe elaborates for the generation entering Eretz Yisrael. Rov mitzvos ha-Torah ha-tzrichos li-Yisrael. Most of the commandments of the Torah that were necessary for the general population of Israel to know. V'lo yazkir bo davar B'Torah's Kohanim. He doesn't mention anything about the laws of the Kohanim, meaning lo b'maisa ha-karbonas, not about the procedure of the sacrifices, v'lo b'taharas Kohanim u'ma'aseim, and not about the purity laws for the Kohanim, nor about their prescribed actions, what the Kohanim have to do in the Beis HaMikdash, shekfar be'er osam lahem, because the Torah had already elucidated all of them to the Kohanim in Sefer Vayikra. V'ha-Kohanim zrizim heim. Kohanim are diligent. Kohanim don't need repetition. Lo yitztarchu la'azhora achar azhora. Kohanim don't require a second admonition after the original admonition. Aval b'Yisrael, but regarding the rest of us, yeah, right? Yachzor ha-mitzvos ha-noagos behem pam acheres lahosif behem biur. Moshe repeats those commandments that apply to them an additional time in order to add elucidation to those commandments. He's really saying two things. He says, we're not as diligent as the Kohanim, so we have to repeat it. In fact, you know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that Shloshim Yom Kodem Lechag, 30 days before Yom Tov, we review Sholim V'Dorshim B'Hilvah Zechag. We start to review the laws of the Chag because we forget from year to year, you know? That's what, otherwise rabbis would be out of business, you know? Rabbis are always asked shilas now during the nine days about fasting on Tisha B'Av and so on, right? Because we forget. We do forget. And rabbis forget too, so they have to keep studying so they can remember and be able to answer. Ufamim shalo yazkir osam rak lahazhir es Yisrael b'rov hasar. Sometimes he mentions them, like that's the repeating, without any new elucidation, only to caution us with numerous warnings. Kemoshi avo b'sefer azeh, for example, he says, in this sefer, b'inyane avodazara, azharos merubosu acharzu. Many frequent warnings about idolatry as they appear in Sefer Dvorah. V'tohachot v'kol pachadim, along with admonitions and a terrifying voice. Yafchir otam b'chol onshe ha'averot. He reminds us, Moshe frightens Bnei Yisrael with all the punishments due for transgressions. So that's the Ramban. Then he goes on to explain, and we're not going to go there, but there are many mitzvahs that are brought for the first time in this Sefer, even though it is Mishnah Torah. But what you will find, if you had a careful study of the Ramban, which we're not going to do, I didn't bring it, that the mitzvahs that he quotes that are new in this Sefer are also mitzvahs of repetition. You know, just to give you an example, the mitzvah of Yibum, the famous mitzvah of Yibum, that if someone dies childless, so there is a mitzvah in the Torah that the wife has to marry the brother in order to continue the family, to continue the neshama, the seed. So that's kind of a mitzvah of repetition. That's kind of the pattern of the mitzvahs that are new, even the new mitzvahs here. But my question is much more basic. Why is it necessary to have an entire Sefer of repetition? Sefer Dvorim is the Sefer of repetition, of Mishnah Torah. Why do we need that? The Torah many times, you know, the 613 Tariq mitzvahs in the Torah are not mentioned just once in the Torah. They're repeated many times. So why not at the end of the fourth Sefer, at the end of Bamidbar, does the Torah just not go over some of those mitzvahs and say, listen, know these mitzvahs well, right? Why is there a specific Sefer of repetition? What's that all about? So I want to suggest that the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Torah, is teaching us a tremendous chiddush, a tremendous lesson in Yahadus, in Judaism. He's teaching us that repetition is not just a PS, an afterthought, but repetition is gufei Torah. Repetition is part of Torah. To learn something once is not enough. To learn something twice is also not enough. To repeat it, that's part of Torah. It's not like, now I know Torah, okay, so I'll repeat it from time to time. No, repeating, the repetitive process of Torah is actually part of the body, the corpus of Torah. Okay, and I think that's a major chiddush, and that is why we have a separate book specifically of repetition, to teach us that repetition is part of Torah. Right? You know, you have the Aseres HaDibros are mentioned once in the first four books, but the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, are also mentioned here in Sefer Dvorim a second time, to drive home this fact that part of Torah is repetition, part of the body of Torah. It's not a PS, the Torah. In fact, the rabbis in the Talmud say, Eino domen, mi sheshona pirko mea pamim, mi sheshona pirko mea va'ahas pamim. There's no comparison to somebody who studies his portion, his, whatever he's learning, 100 times, and someone who studies 101 times. Because the 101th time, he's going to learn something new that he didn't realize the first 100 times. Of course, the Hasidim learn a little differently. They say, "Eino doma mi shoshona pirka mea pamim, mi shoshona pirka mea v'achas." Achas is referring to the Rabbanu Shalom. That you learn it not just as an academic exercise, but you learn it mea v'achat. You learn it as a gift of God, as from the one meaning the Rabbanu Shalom. In any event, I think that's really what is embedded in this name of Mishnah Torah, the idea that we have a Sefer Dafka necessarily devoted to repetition. Okay, number two. This is from Sefer Ikve Binyamin. It's a contemporary rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Lifshitz, who lives in Muncie, New York, actually. And he is named after his grandfather, who was great-grandfather, actually, Rav Yaakov Lifshitz, who was a great Lithuanian gadol. He was the secretary, Talmud Muvak, of Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector in Kovno. And Rabbi Lishitz writes here, Eila Dvor, Eila HaDvor. So this is the opening words of this new Sefer of Chumash, is Eila HaDvor. These are the things. And what Rashi comments, and you see a bunch of places. If you look in the Chumash and you'll see all kinds of strange name nomenclature for places that the Jewish people traveled to in the desert. And some of the names are names we've never heard of. And they're all illusionary. They're illusions and they're metaphors. And Rashi sets the tone and he says, Lufishahe divrei tochachot. Really what Moshe is doing now, and we pointed out last week that this is the kind of swan song of Moshe Rabbeinu. These are his final drushes, his final sermons to the Jewish people. He is rebuking the Jewish people for the things they did wrong during their sojourn. And Rashi says, Lafishahen divrei tovachot, their tovacha, their rebuke, their musaf. He's giving us musaf. Umana kan kol hamakomos shehichisu. So he mentions the places where God was angry at us. Lifnei hamakom, before God, lifichach satam et hadvarim. Therefore he hides his rebuke. V'hizkiran beremez. And he gives it to us in a hint, mipnei kvodam shel Yisrael. In other words, he mentions the places. He doesn't mention the sins that we did. He alludes to the sins in the names of the places. You'll see when you look in the Chumash. Right, I didn't bring out any examples, but for example, Dizahav, a place called Dizahav. What is Dizahav? Dizahav is a clear reference to the Egel Hazahav, to the golden calf, right? But he mentions places, right? Not the actual thing that we did that infuriated God. Why did he do that? He only hints to us why. Mipnei kvodam shel Yisrael, because he has respect for us. Because of he has kavod for the Jewish people, and therefore he only hints to us, right? Now, so he asks a question. Yesh la'ayit, one has to take a look carefully. Halo la'alam, parshat Eikev, if you go further in this Sefer, you'll discover kol ha'dvarim mefurashim sham. Later on in the Sefer, God, you know, doesn't pull any punches. He gives it to us straight. He mentions all the things we did wrong. Without, you know, going around, beating around the bush and just mentioning the places. All the things we did wrong, you know, it's right there in black and white. Which, by the way, is one of the great simanim, one of the great signs of the veracity of Torah. You know, the uniqueness of our culture is that our Torah does not hold back not only the good parts of Jewish history, but even the embarrassing parts of Jewish biblical history, that, you know, the God of Israel does not, everything is there. You know, in many cultures, you know, you'll see that in Egyptian hieroglyphics, for example, a lot of the negative moments in Egyptian history are not recorded in hieroglyphics. But by us, everything is recorded. So he asks a question. Over here, he's being merames, he's giving hints, he's only mentioning the places where the Jewish people sin. Mipnei kvodam shel Yisrael, because of the honor of the Jewish people. But in other places he doesn't do that. So why here? Why here now is he just going, is he doing it in a hinting manner? So he says something very nice. V'yitachen, I want to suggest, sheyardu bezel la'omek teva enosh. That God is descending into the psyche of man. He's applying human psychology. Asher diber, asher davar ha'omed lefanav, shu'i akar v'nichbadlo, something that stands right in front of a person, that is valuable to him, that is dear to him. U'mokir ha'uvda, and he's familiar with it, right? Something that we're very familiar with, it's standing right in front of us. Yaspiklo ha'remez, all you need is a hint. Lahaskiro, to remind him. Uledat hatochen vatachli. You know, person has a car and he loves his car and he knows what his car is and he's really into cars and he's really into his car. Somebody has to mention is the name of that car, right? Or where that car is parked, and he'll remember his car, the color that he picked, the engine, the dashboard, all that, whatever he put into that car, right? You just have to mention where the place is where the car is parked. That's enough. However, he says, davar ha-rachok mimenu umilibo. Something that a person is not that familiar with. It's not close to him, it's not close to his heart. Tzarich lachzor al hadvarim pam u'pa'amayim. So in order to remind him about a certain moment or a certain object, So you have to, once, twice, three times, b'mila meruba, you have to be very verbose, ad shia orer hashomea, until you awaken in the guy, l'ha'azim l'tochacha, to listen to the rebuke, or to whatever he's being told. Right? If I'm, something is close to my heart, something that I know I did, the Egel Azav, right? B'nai Yisrael and the Midbar, the Egel Azav is close to them. They're suffering from that terrible moment. All you have to do is just hint to them, and don't remind me. You said gold. You said the magic word gold. Oh, I remember the golden calf, the Egel Azav, right? But something that is not close to us, he has to go into great detail. This is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing now. He rebuked us, he scolded us, he ripped into us, so to speak, right, in a hinting fashion. Just to say, v'zehu kivodan shel Yisrael, because he had respect for the Jewish people. Right? He didn't want to put us down. He wanted to do it in a gentle manner. So he mentioned, gold, dizahav. He didn't say, remember the golden calf that you made. He said, dizahav. That's because he had respect for us. He just wanted to hint to us. We bristle when we hear it. We bristle. And we remember. Sha'af dvarim k'tzarim. And very in short form, a word, two words. Yaski lehem litarer nafsham l'shul Hashem. That's all we needed in order to do tshuva, in order to return to Hashem, in order to ask for forgiveness. V'lo yechtu od k'derek shechatu b'mekomot elo, and that we would do tshuva, and we would accept upon ourselves not to repeat the sin, that the misstep that we made against Him. And all would take, it's enough just to hint at us, because He knows that it's close to us. He knows that how we feel about it. So that's the covenant of Yisrael. V'rotza l'hochicham, and He wanted to give us Musar, right? He wanted to. Shekein tzarech l'hitna heg l'doro, because this is how we have to conduct ourselves for generations. Sheyaspik haramiza, just use hinting, not fire and brimstone. Shezeh ot l'lev ha'adam v'regesh ha'pnimi. This, just a word sometimes, will go right through to the heart of a person. She'ein sarach rak lemilak tzara. Sometimes all you need is one little word, lahavin ulazkir, to remember what and to understand. Now this is, the sheet didn't come out completely, so I quickly wrote it in my script. I have to read my own writing, so you don't have this in front of you. And he continues, v'chol ha'ma'orot ha'am, all of the events, the sins of the Jewish people, rak niskarim v'remiza, are therefore only mentioned in this parsha in a hinting form. Right? Can't read my own writing. So he said, hu ha'ma'orer lizkor churban ha'galus hamar. He says, for us, he says, how much do we need, he says, to remember the terrible churban of galus that we lived through? Mi Asher, he's talking now, I think, about the Holocaust a little bit. He's throwing in a kind of contemporary idea here. Mi Asher Libo, or the destruction of the temple, the 9 days that we're in now. Mi Asher Libo im Am Hashem, whose heart is attached to the heart of the Jewish people. Ein Tzorich Lahavin, Lemazkeret Kedoshim, now you can go back to the column on the left here, as I have it, requires Mazkeret Kedoshim V'Torim Shemasru Nashom. Any Jew, any sensitive Jew, whose heart is attached to the heart of the Jewish people, doesn't need to have a building to remind himself of all of the Jews, the 6 million Jews who died, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or in our time, the Churban of Europe. Mi Asher Lo Yoshit Yado B'Mayim B'Yom HaTa'anit. Who is it that puts his hand in water during who knows he can't wash his hands on Tisha B'Av, we can't wash our hands. Just by, that's a hint. It's kind of, God is hinting to us. You can't wash your hands on Tisha B'Av, right? So you, person who doesn't, a Jew who doesn't wash his hands fully, can only wash up until the joints of the fingers, right? So that's a hint to us, to remind us gently, to remind us, Umega Atzmo Tisha Yamim Milechotz Bechamim, or that we can't take a hot bath during the 9 days. V'lilbosh beged chadash, and you can't wear clean garments during the 9 days. What Jew who has these hints, the halacha gives us these hints, right? That's how God gently, that we have to go through this discomfort, this mourning period of doing these little things, right? Hari maskeret netzach, v'lo zu yishkach lenetzach. This will bring out the memory, the Jewish memory that every Jew has by doing these little hints that God gives us through the Torah, that the rabbis give us. It doesn't hit us over the head with them. It's enough for us to have these hints of mourning to remember. Ki remizi yaspik, the hint of the clothing and not showering and not washing on Tisha B'Av and so on. Ach, ha'avudim, asher datam rachok min adat. He says, unfortunately, people who are the assimilated Jews who are far removed from Torah, he says, asher lo yavinu v'lo yargishu, sh'aleim li'tavel gimel shavuot b'shana, al churban ha'kodesh b'Yisrael, who don't know, they don't realize that we have to mourn for 3 weeks for the churban. Yivnu migdal, so they build a tower. Ubinyan lahazkir ba'alma, so they have to build a, this is not on your sheet already, they have to build a building to remember great tragedies. Now obviously he's speaking about Holocaust memorials. Now Holocaust memorials are very important, but we shouldn't need memorials. We should have that memory ingrained in our hearts. Now, you know, I just want to add a historical interesting thing that I read just recently, that I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, when the Jews first came to America in New York, there were, 30 Jewish families, and there was some kind of a parade that was to take place, and it was coming out on Shivas Har B'Tammuz, and they canceled, they changed the parade. I don't remember all the specific historical facts, but they changed this parade in the city of New York because the Jews had a fast on that day. Now what is amazing about that is that it was Shivas Har B'Tammuz. It wasn't Yom Kippur, it wasn't Tisha B'Av. It was the 17th of Tammuz. And what was interesting is, all the Jews in New York, the entire Jewish community in New York, knew about Shivas Har B'Tammuz, and they cared about Shivas Har B'Tammuz. Fascinating American history. Yes?
I kind of disagree on the fact that we...
Number three is the commentary of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim is one of the classic commentaries of Chumash. I think over the time we have seen a little bit from the Or HaChaim, but not recently. The Or HaChaim died at a very young age. He lived in North Africa. But he left a minefield of interpretation. And this is a comment, actually I was just going to do one comment, the first two paragraphs, but I read the rest of it, and I saw he has multiple interpretations sometimes on a phrase, on a verse, on a pasuk. So here, Eila HaDvarim, again the parsha starts with Eila HaDvarim, these are the things. Now, Eila, you remember there's two ways that a parsha can start. It could be Eila, these are, or V'Eila. Sometimes the Torah will begin V'Eila, and these. Now when it uses the Vav, Achibur, the word and, the conjunctive and, it's connecting what is coming now with what came before. When it says Eila, it's kind of a new thing. But he takes it just to, he says, Eila, miut hakod. Eila, to the exclusion of what I said before. Pirush, the explanation. Lefisha amar, asher diber Moshe shehem divrei atzma. Because now he's saying things that Moshe himself said. She kol ha-sefer tochachot u-musar mi-Moshe le-over pi Hashem. As we pointed out earlier, the difference between Sefer Dvorim and the rest of the Chumash is that Sefer Dvorim is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking directly. So therefore, Eile, not Ve'eile, Eile, it separates. V'amuzal, the rabbis say, klalot she-be-mishne Torah, the curses, the anti-brachas in Sefer Dvorim, Moshe mipi atzmo amra, Moshe said them himself. Va'afilu ma shechazer upirish mamre Hashem hakodmi. Even those things where he repeats what God said before, lo mitztava asot ken. He wasn't commanded to repeat them. Moshe's doing this all on his own. Ela me'atzmo chazer hadvarim. On his own, he's repeating it. So now, this is a useful, because this is the point that actually you made last week when we talked about Ze HaDavar. He's making the exact same point here. V'chash HaKatuv Lomar. And the Torah is very specific to say, Ki kederach sha'amar Moshe mipi atzmo dvarim ke'ele. Just like Moshe said all these things on his own. Kemo keit b'ma'amarim ha'kodmim. Everything before amar Moshe mipi atzmo eze davar. L'ze amar eile ha'dvarim pirush eile levad. Eile dvar, not ve'ele. Please don't make a mistake. It's only these things that he's going to teach you from now on that Moshe himself said. Not what was before. What was before came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his mouth. But Eilid HaDvarim, now only these things, to the exclusion of those things in the other four Svarim. Asher Dibor Moshe Mipnei Atzmo. Aval Kol HaKodem B'Dalet HaChumashim. Anything that he said in the previous four Chumashim, Lo Amar. Afilu Ot Achat Me'atzmo. Not even one letter, one word was from himself, was Moshe. Ela hadvarim sheyotzu mipi hametzuva kitzuratam. They are words that came from the mouth of God, kaviyochel, as it were, without changing the point of a yud. Below shum shinui, without any change. Afilu ot achat yitera o chasera. Not one extra letter, not one diminished letter. That's why it says elu. It's another point that the Torah is making. Remember, we made the point last week. Zeh hadavar. And you said beautifully that Zeh HaDavar is being said now to distinguish the fact that this is coming from Moshe, but everything else came from God. Okay, so he has another few answers to this question. Why is this Eila HaDvarim? Od Yiratza Lagid, I want to suggest another answer. HaKatuv, Shekol Arboim Shana, Shehaya Moshe Roa Yisrael Bamidbar. All 40 years that Moshe was shepherding the Jewish people in the desert, Lo Diber Lehem Kashot. Zulot Eladvar. He never reprimanded them. He never laced into us until this moment. That's why it's Eila, exclusively Eila Hadvar. Shehu Shadibur Kashot, Hagam, you tell me Shemat Yilashad Matsinu, Shaamar Lehem, Shimuna Amori, by the rock. He said, listen now, you rebellious people. Lo Amar Davrazel the Klalit Israel. He wasn't speaking to the entire people. El lechelik echad shahayu morim bo ha'oro. He was only speaking to a specific group who were rebellious. V'chein amru b'sefer ha'zohar. And in fact, our Kabbalists in the Sefer ha'zohar say the same thing. Aval lekol Yisrael, to the entire Jewish people, lo diber kashot. He did not rank us out, zulat eile, except this one time. V'hu mashe dikdek lomar el kol Yisrael. And dafke tu b'nei Yisrael. Eile hadvarim. Pirush kol al kula, to the entire Jewish people, shelo diber kashot ela eile, only these, aval liktzatan yimtza shedibur kashot chutz mi'eile. You'll find exceptions when he spoke to parts of the Jewish people, but not all. Final, he's got two more here. Od yiratzel lirmoz cheshbon yamim asher hochiach li Yisrael shein bamidbar eile. He also wants to tell us how many days this took place. V'chein mochichim haksuvim ki be'echad lechodesh shvat hitchilu daber aleihem. When did he begin speaking? On Rosh Chodesh Shvat. As it says, ba'ashtei asar chodesh be'echad lechodesh. Right? That's the first of the month of Shvat. That's when he started rebuking us. V'hu nitpan b'zayin adar. Moshe left this world on the 7th of Adar. How many is that? Hari lamed vav. That's 36. K'mispar eila. If you do the math, the gematria of Eila, Aleph is 1, Lamed is 30, He is 5, so you've got 36 days. Shebehen diber hadvarim shel hatochachot hamurim b'inyan. So he was ranking us out for 36 days. So Eila is a hint to that. You see the many facets of the Or HaChaim scholarship, but you also see the many facets of Torah, how you can interpret one word in so many ways. Finally, he says, Od yirmoz al derech masha amru b'gemor. I want to tell you that the word Eila Advarim is also hinting to something in our oral tradition. So the Gemara says in Yuma, the Talmud, Amar Rava, Hasach sichat chulin over ba'aseh. If a person speaks frivolous things, unimportant things, he's transgressing a mitzvah of a dibar tabam, that you're supposed to speak the words of Torah, v'lo b'dvarim acherim, and not about other things. That's the rabbis give us that drosha. Mikan sha'asula daber zulat kedivrei Torah v'yira. A person should never be speaking about anything that's non-spiritual. So even our sichas chulin, even our general talk should be infused with spirituality. But the point here is that Moshe Rabbeinu v'hodiya katuv, the Torah is pointing out to us, ki Moshe Rabbeinu olam hasholem, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, eile heim hadvarim, asher diber kol yamav me'atzmam, eilu hadvarim shediber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke, and no other words. He only spoke dvarim shel kedusha, holy words. Levad hadvarim asher tziva me'ashem ledabra. He only spoke the words that God commanded him to speak. Halamarta shekayim v'dibarta bam. That he fulfilled this mitzvah, a mitzvah that who can aspire to, who can fulfill this mitzvah, but Moshe did. Udvarav eile, his words eile, kol roe ya'in, ki kulam divrei Torah v'chachma u'musa. Everything that he spoke were words of divrei, v'chachma, Torah, u'musa. L'havdil, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't pause and tell us the score of the Jets game in the middle of the parsha. Okay, let's go to four. And this is also using the math. The rabbis have an entire different approach using the math of Ela, which we said is what? Ela is 36. So the rabbis say in the Medrash, this is from a sefer called Ma'amakim from Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, who is a great Rosh Hashiva here in Yerushalayim, a tremendous Baal Machshava, and people run after his shiurim in Hebrew, and he's very good. So, Avot Melacha Arba'im Chaser Achat. There are 39 melachas on Shabbos, right? Everybody knows that. There's 39 categories of work on Shabbos. The rabbis say, Avos Melachas, the chief categories of work are Arba'im Chaser Achat. They're 40 minus 1, right? They round it up, 40 minus 1. How do we know that? What's their proof? Dichsiv, from our parsha. Eila advar. Eila, these are the things. How does it work? What's the math? Eila is shloshim b'shesh. That's 36. We've already showed that, right? Aleph lamed hay is 36. Devarim is 2, right? When you say things, the minimum of things, plurality is 2. So you got 30, you're up to? 38. Good math. V'hadvarim, with the hay is 3. Hadvarim is 3, because dvarim is 2, and hay is another one. So dvarim, we have 37.
We're at 38.
We're at 38. So hadvarim, is mem chasarach, is 39. The hay gives you another one. This is the rabbi's drasha. Why here? By eila dvarim, does that teach us there are 39 categories of malacha? What's the connection between this, right? You just take a pasuk and you do the math with these psukim, and that's Torah. What's going on? He says, no. Al derech zeh mevaher echad mikadmeinu. He says, based on this, he says, one of our early rabbis explained, ki hatorachot shehochiach Moshe Rabbeinu alav hasholom in Yisrael, that the musar, the ranking out that Moshe gave to the Jewish people, betchilat sefer dvorim, at the beginning of dvorim, romzot al shmirat hashabbat. Everything relates to the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. It's not a game that the rabbis are playing. They take a random verse in the Torah, Eila HaTorah, they show you that it's 39, and therefore we have 39 melachos on Shabbos. No. There's something hidden here. That all the rancor that Moshe had against Bnei Yisrael has to do with the importance of the mitzvah of Shmirat Shabbos, of keeping Shabbos. And he's quoting this rabbi, who was a Kadmo, who's from hundreds of years ago. Quote, V'liyot shahashabbat hi pina kolelet emunat Moshe Rabbeinu. Given that Shabbos is the, I don't know how you translate this, the cornerstone of faith of Moshe Rabbeinu al Hashol. What did somebody say in our times? You know, the more than the Jewish people have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jewish people, right? V'sibat mitzvotah. And the reason of keeping Shabbos is to remind us of the creation of the world, that God created the world in 6 days, seventh day he rested. Al-Kain, therefore, Mishnah HaTorah, the final book of the Torah, Matchelet Be'ela HaTorah, when he's going to remind us, he's going to rebuke us, he's going to warn us, he gives us a hint and a warning and a rebuke about Shabbos. Shelifnei ze amar eile ha-mitzvot, he said, these are the mitzvot. Chazar va'amar eile ha-dvarim, now he's saying, these are the things. Ratzal omar, he wants to say, ha-lamot tet malachot ha-ramuzim be'eile ha-dvarim ha-kinizkar, the 39 malachas, categories of work on Shabbos that are hinted in the beginning of this book, shehem shkulim b'chlal shmirat Shabbat keneged kol ha-mitzvot. They, if you put on a scale, Shabbos, and the 39 malachas, and the rest of the Torah on another scale, it's evenly balanced. Shabbos is equal to all the Torah. And he continues. Umishum, why is that? Sheshor she mitzvah Shabbat, the roots of the mitzvah of Shabbos, v'ikro, and its base, its shorish, nemru beremez al pi hamispar ela advarim, is given to us through the hint of these words, ela advarim. Ela advarim means everything. These are the things. Shabbos is everything. That's the point. Eila ha-dvarim, these are the things, is a hint to Shabbos, meaning that Shabbos is Eila ha-dvarim. Shabbos is everything. Al-kein, patach, you know, in kashrus, for example, in ne'manut, if you trust somebody, can you trust somebody? So one of the standard for eating, let's say, eating in their house, eating in a restaurant, is the person that shomer Shabbat. So shmirat Shabbat is, and we know that, is Yishomer Shabbos. We don't like to say that. We love all Jews. Whether they're Shomer Shabbos or they're not yet Shomer Shabbos. But in terms of a basic halacha of trustworthiness, in terms of kashrus, if someone is Shomer Shabbos, so that's sufficient. You know that if he's Shomer Shabbos, he's got everything, right? He's Eila Advarim. He's an Eila Advarim. Al-Kein Patach Lohochichan, although when it comes to, just as an aside, when it comes to giving hashgacha, when it comes to rabbinic supervision, there's an interesting... You know, sometimes, well, he's a Shomer Shabbos, and he doesn't need it in his restaurant, you know? So there's an interesting tshuva from the Arugas Abosin. The Arugas Abosin was one of the great Hungarian poskim of the early 20th century. And he says that a Shomer Shabbos, Dafka needs a mashkiach, right? Because he knows too much. He'll cut corners. You know, this is mutter. You know, he'll take the law into his own hands, so to speak. So, you know, he has negias. It's his own business, so that person has to have a mashkiach. Okay. Al-kein pasach lehochichan, so therefore he begins to rebuke us, to rank us out. Derech remez, hinting, be'eila ha-dvorim. With these words, which i.e. Shabbos, v'ratzel lomar, al-lamet tes avos melochas yisira. He is really, that's the first hint. When Moshe says, e'ila ha-dvorim, before he even says the dizahav, he mentions the gold word. That reminds us of the golden calf. He says, Eile Dvarim. Eile Dvarim, the Jewish people, oh, Eile Dvarim. That's a remez, that's a hint of the 39 malachas of Shabbos. Our Shabbos observant is not what it's supposed to be, right? V'hizkir agav, and he says, Prate Shabbat v'amar be'evir hayardeh. What's across the other side of the Jordan? You'll see the psukim when you look in the Chumash. Hochiach otam lemor. He's rebuking us to say, Shemitzvot Shabbat, the mitzvah of Shabbos, Ushmirato and keeping it. Zochim li kanes la Eretz Yisrael shehu be'evir hayardeh. What schut did we have to come into Eretz Yisrael? It's the schut of Shmirat Shabbat. It's the schut of Shabbos that gave us Eretz Yisrael. V'hu hadin sheba'avon chilul Shabbos. He says, Chas v'shalom, he says, through the misstep of not keeping Shabbos, you go li me'aretz. The Jewish people will be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Kedita b'gemorah, it's a gemorah in Shabbos in our oral tradition. You know, we think there's only one reason for the destruction of the temple. If you go carefully through our oral tradition, you'll find 9 different reasons why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and we were put into galus. One of them is Chilul Shabbos, that we didn't keep Shabbos. Hakesher bein Sefer Dvorim leMitzvot Shabbat, the nexus, the connection between the Book of Dvorim and the Mitzvot Shabbos. Muvuar kemin chomer al pi darkena. Shekein sefer dvorim hu sefer ha-hachana la-hasagat b'chinat Eretz Yisrael. This is the sefer in which we prepare to come to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban told us, right? He's repeating those mitzvahs that we need. We're going from the idyllic world of the desert, where we lived on miracles. We're going from idealism to reality. We're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Now we need the practical halachas of tilling the soil and building Eretz Yisrael, building our homeland here in Eretz Yisrael at Seinu HaKadosh. So we go from the midbar, the world of idealism, into the world of reality. So the Ramban says, now I give you these mitzvahs that you need in the world of reality. But what is that coming into? We're preparing to come into Eretz Yisrael. Shumakom hamenucha v'hanachla minedudei hamidbar. This is our place of rest. We're coming, Eretz Yisrael is kind of, you know, in a physical sense, the Shabbos of the world. The Jewish people are coming to rest, our homeland, our ultimate homeland. It is the in place, in Kedushat HaMakom, in the holiness, sanctity of space, what Shabbos is in the sanctity of time. It's our place of rest. Al Derech HaKatuv, the Rebbe, David HaMelech says in Psalms, Im Yavou El Menuchati, you come to my rest, my place of rest. HaSefer Gamro Mezal HaMahalech Sheyuval LeMenuchat Olamim, it also hints to Olam Haba, to going to the world to come. B'chinot chaya olam haba, which we say, right? U'v'chein ha-makbil ramuz bo. That's hinted b'tchilato inyan shmirat Shabbat, shu yom ha-manucha, migyat ha-malacha, when we stop doing work. Right? We say, Shabbat is me'ein olam haba. Shabbat is me'ein, is a taste of the world to come. V'hu gam romez ha-manuchat chaya olam haba. Kibo shomrim chazal, the rabbis say, there are three things that are a taste of the world to come. And one of them is Shabbat. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. Lefichach, therefore, b'mitzvah Shabbos u'shmirato, the mitzvah Shabbos and keeping it, zochim, we will be merited lihikanes l'eretz Yisrael. Lefisha b'chinat ha-Shabbat, what Shabbos represents, makbila lo ta menucha v'nachla b'chinat Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael is one. Eretz Yisrael, which is our place of menucha, Shabbos is our moment of menucha. Now I just want to close with a thought on this idea that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. So what does that mean? What is the world to come? The world to come is the end of the journey, the end of the road. That means that we've reached the everything we do in this world, doing all the mitzvahs that we do, all the Torah we study, is to all the goodness that we try to bring into the world, is to bring us to Olam Haba. That's how we earn and merit to get in to Olam Haba, right? It's the end of the road, the end of the journey. So Shabbos, how is Shabbos made Olam Haba? Because Shabbos, it's not about what we can't do. This I can do on Shabbos, this I can't do, that I can't do, no. We make all the preparations on Erev Shabbos. I don't have to do this on Shabbos. Shabbos is a sense of arrival. I've arrived. Everything is set for me. It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's not that I can't do Malacha. I don't have to do Malacha. Everything is prepared for me. That's in a sense, Olam Haba. I don't have to do anything. Everything is prepared for me from before Shabbos, right? Now, if that's true, it has to play itself out in Halacha. Where in Halacha do we say, do we express the notion that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba? Where is that expressed in Halacha? We don't say it in Kiddush. It's not in Kiddush. We don't say it in Davening. Where do we say it? Where do we say that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba? You know where we say it? We say it in benching. And the Harachaman is at the end of benching. It's an add-on to benching. Harachaman hu yanchileinu yom shekulo Shabbos u'mnucha. God should allow us to inherit Shabbos in Olam Haba. That's it, in benching. Why in benching? Why do we remind ourselves of this notion in bed when we finish eating? So I want to suggest that there's a good reason to it. It's very practical. Eating, remember, Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a similar to Olam Haba. It's not Olam Haba. Nothing can be Olam Haba. No one's come back to tell us what it is. But in the sense that it's arrival, in a sense of arrival, but it's a false sense of arrival. Eating, the act of eating is a false sense of arrival. When you eat a meal, right, you're going to take your family out to the restaurant on a Sunday night, and nobody eats the whole day because you're going to go to your favorite restaurant and everybody doesn't eat breakfast, they skip breakfast, lunch, and go to the restaurant, and you order everything, right? And then, you know, we had this experience. I mentioned it a few weeks ago in Ranana, that there's this restaurant in, which I recommend, by the way, in Ramat Gan called El Gaucho. I don't know if any of you have been there. But all you can eat for 199 shekels. All you can eat for 199 shekels. right? Of course, there's rules, there's rules. Everybody at the table has to follow, you know, you write Jewish restaurant. Everybody at the table has to do it. You can't be one person and give it to everybody. You can't get your second steak until you finish your first steak, et cetera, right? But let's say you go there, everybody has that special, and you're finished again, and then your next door neighbor walks in 2 hours later and sits down, and they're going through the same experience you went through. You can't even look at their table, right? Because you're saying, I'll never eat again for the rest of my life. But you know, 5 hours later, you're rummaging through the refrigerator again. Because eating is a false sense of arrival. I'll never have to eat again. So dafka, in the mitzvah of Sudat Shabbat, of the meals of Oneg Shabbos, of benching, and thanking the Rabbi Shalom for this mitzvah, for the food that he gives us, dafka there we mention that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, because it's only a me'ein. It's a false reality, but at least we have something of olam haba. Okay, we don't have enough time for this next piece. Everyone should have an easy fast. Okay? I don't say, everyone says, say a meaningful fast. It's assumed that you're having a meaningful fast. I think it's insulting to say to you, have a meaningful fast. I think everybody is planning to have a meaningful fast. But I want it to be healthy. Everything should be well for you when you have that meaningful fast. It should be an easy fast. Okay.